Hi, welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
I love it that we still, as we share the gospel of Jesus, as we still share about what Jesus is doing, not just 2,000 years ago, but today, he's still working. He's making the impossible possible. And we're face to face with that every day, and I love that. I love that we're on the winning team. I love that we can't lose. I love that we live a victorious life. And when we're feeling defeated or we're feeling like we're against impossible odds, I'm excited that, you know, Jesus has a say in that, because he brings a truth and a life and a way that has the ability to overcome every obstacle that the world can throw at him. He doesn't look at a situation and go, wow, I can't deal with that. I can't overcome that. That's too big for me. I do that. That's what I do. That's what we do. But Jesus doesn't do that. He looks at a situation and goes, I can do that. I can make that happen. I can change that. I can turn that around. I can, you know, I believe you are the way. You know why I believe? Because I believe that I'm not. Yeah? I can humble myself to the point because I am not, he is. Right? I love the fact that I am not and that he is. Makes it easy for me, you know, just invite Jesus into the situation. One of the things that I've seen as we've journeyed over Platform 9 in the last 3 years is I have seen people absolutely, you know, beat from pillar to post, absolutely flogged, been through just amazing, horrific circumstances, and you introduce them to Jesus and everything changes. That's good news, right? I just love that. And I love that nothing is too big. And so I'm going to get Xavier up here, Bishop Xavier, and I'm always scared that I'm going to introduce you in the wrong way, but we'll go with Bishop Xavier. I said to him the other day, so Bishop Xavier, as I said, has been hanging out at Revive, and he came and spoke at Sea Change last Sunday night at our dinner, shared a bit of his testimony, also stayed, we have a Sunday night gathering called the Upper Room, and he came to that, and we had an amazing time then, didn't we? We had a great time as God moved, and, you know, a lot of people got really touched by the Holy Spirit, and it was a pretty powerful night. People are still talking about that night, actually. So, and he's coming next tomorrow to share, but just today to talk about just a little of your testimony. He's from India. He's from Chennai, and you come from a Hindu background, and your family was Hindu. Maybe tell about how you came to Christ, and you're probably going to have to swallow that microphone, I'm assuming, in order to get some volume out there. So, yeah.
Praise the Lord. I was born in a Hindu family. My family, it is not a normal Hindu family. They are very traditional and very orthodox Hindu family. My grandfather, he built his own temple and he was worshipping the idols and doing so many traditional things. Our family is a very important family in that village. All the situation, the village, if they have to make a decision, they have to discuss with our family. After that only they can finalize anything. And in that situation, my family, there is 8 children in our family. One of my sister, she was very in the marriage age. One guy came to like to marry my sister. My father and mother, everybody, they rejected him. We will not give my daughter to marry you. We are very Hindus. Myself, I will put some white, then red, yellow, like that. In Uttaras Mala, like that. Any time like a Bujari, I will move, because I am the assistant of my grandfather in that temple. that man went to his home and he was did some witchcraft. Through that witchcraft power, my sister was affected. Every day from 12 to 1, her hands will come together and it will become rough. The legs also, it will be start like that. From 12 to 1 in the noon, with a severe stomach pain, she will roll in the ground with a loud voice. After 1 o'clock, she will become she was very normal. The night, same things will be happen. From 12 to 1, it was happen. So we know so many Hindu people, they will come and do so many traditional things. Every Friday and Tuesday, we will call some people. They will come and do so many traditional things. Nothing was happen. We spent lakhs of money. It was happen more than, it is 7 years it was continuously happen in our family. There is next two sisters with me, they are also in the marriage age. So everybody was feeling very sad. One day one of my father's friend came to my home and he said to my father, if there is no any objection to you, you can bring your daughter to our church. Jesus may be healed. But my father became angry and he was scolding him and sent out from the house. She said, I'm sorry because we love you. We love your daughter. Because of that, I called her. He said, and said sorry to my father and he went away. The next day morning, my mother, Pastor Thomas, his son, he know very well my mother. He was prayed last time. My mother went away. But my mother asked to my father, we tried so many things, but nothing was healed. We can just go to the church and we can try it, is what will be happen. But my father getting angry with my mother, what are the things you have to do? You go, I will not responsible for anything like that. Okay, my mother bring my sister and she went to the church and she met that minister, servant of God. He was pray to the Lord. Nothing was happening in the church. She was praying, and the pastor pray, and he said to my mother, there is no any problem to your daughter, you can go. When any Hindu people, they will come and do any things in the house, my sister will shout and she will dance, many things was happen. But inside the church, nothing was happened. My mother returned from the church with very sad. Why we went to the church? We are a Hindu family. We are a traditional family. We went to there. Nothing was happened like that. She was came to the home and we was waiting. And it is near to 12. Every day we will see what will be happen. It is near to the 12, her hands will come close and it will become rough. And her eyes and legs, everything will be starting to another position. Exactly 12 o'clock, she will be rolling the ground. That day, after 7 years, we are seeing her hands was normal. Hands was normal. We are thinking, suppose it will start little later. The time passed. 1 o'clock fast, she was very normal. After that, we was sitting and we was thinking, what happened? Then the midnight, same things will be happen. We was expecting, everybody was sitting and we are seeing my sister's hands and leg, everything. She was sleeping very well. That day, the Lord healed her completely. 7 years we was struggled from the demon's power with the witchcraft. We spent much money, many times, hours by hours, we went so many places. Nothing was happened. But Jesus healed that day. But I was not a Christian that day. From before that, anybody will come and preach in the street, Jesus is good, I will go near to them. And I was said to them, Jesus may be good, but I am not good. If you continue to preach about Jesus Christ, I will make a severe action to you. I will tell them, I will go 10 meters from away. If you continuously preach, I will stone against to them. I was many times stone against to the Christian preachers when they are preaching in the street. After my sister healing, I said to Jesus, you are like a good God. So I will permit the people to preach in the street. I will not disturb them. Because you've done good things for my sister. So I allowed your people to preach about you. It was happened in my life. I was thinking, what is this? What is different from our gods? So many Hindu gods we worship. What is the difference between the Jesus and all our gods? Why this God was not heal my sister? How Jesus can heal immediately? I was not accept Jesus. It was going away. Then one day, one of my school friend called me to Christmas celebration. I went to the church with my friend. When I entered the church compound, my heart became very hard. I said to my friend, I am a Hindu. I will not enter into the church. We can play in the church ground. And when the Christmas service will start, you can go and attend the service. After that you come, we can go to the home. I will not enter into the church, I said to my friend. Then after, when the Christmas service was to start, he went to the church. I was sitting outside the church. I was sleeping in the floor. After the Christmas service, he came. We returned to my home. The January 1st, I was getting ready. I went somewhere. The bus was stopped in front of the church. I feel someone pulled down from the bus. I'm seeing nothing, nobody's there. But unknowingly, I was pulled by the bus. And when I come down, the bus moved. So I went to the church. Somebody's pulling me, and pulled inside the church. The Christmas service, I was not under the church. I was sitting outside with my friend. He called me. I was not entered. But the January 1st, someone, they are pulling. I'm seeing, who is pulling me? Who is? Nobody's there. But I went inside the church. I was sitting there. The priest was preaching about Jesus Christ. Why Jesus came to the world. Why he want to crucify. Why he want to give the blood. Because Jesus is the only God. He will forgive all the people, all the sins. When he start to preach the word, that word was touch my heart. I start to cry. Oh, Jesus, you are a good God. I did so many mistakes against you. I'm sorry. Like that, I start to myself, I don't know how to pray, but I'm telling so many words. I did so many things like this against you. So will you forgive me like that? I start. Then I was start to cry. After the service, that was a New Year service. After the service, everybody, they start to greetings everybody, Happy New Year, like that. Inside the church, maximum, we can see many people, we will give the greetings to known people only. If any unknown people will come there, they will not give the importance or respect to them. The same way it was happened to me, everybody was giving the hands and say the Happy New Year. I was sitting and cry, nobody's find out me. Then that priest came to there. Who are you? Where are you from? Like that. I said to that pastor, I am from this village. My name is Kanaka Sabai. I am a Hindu. Like that, I said. Then he just said to me, Happy New Year, I come. I follow that man, that priest, and I'm weeping and crying. That words was touched my heart and broke my heart. So I was going with him. When I come out from the church, there was my teacher was standing in that place. When I see my my teacher, I am little happy. Because when the teacher will teach in the subject, that was geography in those days. Now they are changed as civics. The AD, DC, like that, words will come in the lesson. She will start to teach about Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Why he came to the world like that? I will stand up and I said to teacher, the government is giving salary to you. Teach us only. Not to preach about Jesus Christ. So you can stop to preach and you try to teach us. If you are not interested to teach the subject, you go and take your rest. I was spoke like that. And after this event, I will wrote in the Bible, do not preach about Jesus Christ, like that. When I see the teacher, I was a little happy. I went to near to the teacher and I said, good morning, teacher. She saw me and she was asked, why you came to here? What is the plan you have? How many people came? How many people with you? I was saying, teacher, I came alone. I accept Lord Jesus Christ. I trust Lord Jesus Christ. She was not accept me. She says, no, I will not trust you. No, teacher, really, truly, I believe that Jesus is the true God like that. After that only, she knows very well about me. I am a strong man. I will totally against anything. So I am speaking with cry and tear. So she hold me and gave a kiss and gave me a rose. And after that, she greetings to me, Happy New Year. Then she was introduced me to that pastor, that father. He's about all my life. Then that father, he said to me, you continually come to the church. After that, we can find out what we can do like that. I was continuously went to the church 1 year. After that, he gave the baptism to me. He was very attached with me. So his name is Savior. My name is not Savior. His name is Savior. He said to me, you do not forget me. You are a special person to me. So I'm giving my name to you. When the baptism time, he gave his name to me. His name is Savior. Last year, he went to the kingdom of God. After that, I still, that situation to get the baptism, I was a very poor in education. My topmost mark is 27. Somebody's laughing. Yeah? My topmost mark is only 27. It was 7th standard I was studying. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ in the 17 years end, the 18th beginning. I entered to the standard 8. The first time in my life, I got the third rank in our school class. Everybody was start to speak about me. What happened? How he get the rank? Rank mean, do you know what is the rank? The first, second, third, like that. How he got the rank like that? The AFEL exam, the school decide to appoint a special score for me. I was sit in the floor and I was writing the exam. One score, he was roaming around me only. If I copy anything or like that, he was surrounding with me. I was seeing. What happened? He is completely surrounding with me like a Hindu temple. The Hindu people, they were coming around the temple like that. He is coming. Okay, I was not care about it. I was wrote the exam. By the grace of God, in the AFEL exam, I got the second rank in my class. And then the headmaster and all the teachers, they was asked to the teacher, what happened? How you permit? Did you give the any copy or anything? They asked to the teacher. He said he was not do any wrong thing. He was write the exam sincerely, without seeing anybody, without asking anybody, without speaking anybody. He was write the exam sincerely. Nobody accepted me. But he's telling it is true like that. The annual exam, I got the school first. Class first and school first. From the peon to headmaster, there was a start. What happened, Kanaka Sabai? How he became wise? That time my teacher, he's unable to sit silently. See, start to said, he start to go to the church. Because of that, he became wise man. From that day, I was, the Lord blessed me. I would get every success. After that, I became a school people leader in that school. I did so many things. By the grace of God, I was start to study more and more. When I finished my 12th standard, I went to the college. I was complete my first year. Then I got the Holy Spirit. I was become very fire and very strong Christian. So my parents, relations, there was everybody became against me. One day my father said to me, if Jesus will give the money, you can study. Otherwise, we cannot help you. After that, I was prayed to the Lord. Lord, you are the Almighty God. You can just little amount, you can give the college fees to me. So I was fast and pray. The Lord Jesus, he was not give any money to me. I was pray. The time was gone. I was unable to continue my studies. After that, my family members, they was start to criticize. Why Jesus not give the money? You cannot continue the study. That's all your chapter like that. Then I applied for job to many places. By the grace of God, the Lord gave me a good job in the shipping corporation as an investigation officer. I got the job and I joined the duty. There was three assistant to me, office assistant. My father and my family members, they was decided. If we allowed him more and more, he will spoil all our family members. So we have to make a proper decision against me. They was decided. They gave some poison and some money through my office assistant. They put that. She's a Muslim girl. She put that medicine, poison, and mixed that coffee and gave to me. I drank that poison mixed coffee. The Lord is alive. I am alive. The Lord saved me from that poison. Nothing was happened to me. She was seeing and doing so many things. They give the poison to my family and my relation. Everybody, they was decided to kill me because I became a Christian. But that poison was not working. Because the Jesus with me, the poison failed, Jesus gave the life. After doing this poison, I was alive, nothing was happened. The people was asking, what happened, do you give or not? And they was fighting, they gave the money also. What happened? He's normal. He's going by the cycle. He's coming. He's doing so many things. What happened? But there was fighting and quarreling. Through that poison, after 3-4 weeks, I got stomach pain. I was unable to eat. So I went so many places, but there is no healing. Then I was asked to the Lord, Lord, I am... Everybody is suffering because of my stomach pain. So, you kindly heal me or send me from this place or take me from the world. I pray these three requests. The first thing was not happened. There is no healing. The second thing, take from the world, it was not happened. If the Lord take it, take me that day, I will not be here. The third thing, things was happened to me. The Lord gave me a transfer from that place to Chennai. I came to Chennai. From there, the Lord healed me. From that stomach pain, the Lord healed me. I was working. The Lord called me to the ministry. I resigned my job and I came to the ministry. By the grace of God, I resigned my job in the 1989. From that day, the Lord is leading without any problem. Pastor Thomas knows very well our family and family members, everybody. The Lord is leading, Lord is feeding us, Lord is helping us, Lord is doing all the things. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. The great news, too, is that through all that situation, his whole family came to Christ as well. So they were persecuted, but they came to the Lord, and, it's just a great story. Thank you for that. I'm just going to show you the Platform 9 testimonies. We're just going to watch the screen here. Some of the people, all the stories in this video are true. Some of the people we've replaced with other people just to protect their identity, so...
What does homelessness look like?
It looks like your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin, your favourite granny and pop. It looks like your neighbour or your teenager's friend from school whose home is no longer safe.
It looks like a family breakdown, the gargoyle next door who lost their job or who fell ill and couldn't work anymore.
It's a person over 55. It looks like domestic violence or financial stress. It looks like you or me.
Every one of the people who find themselves homeless never thought
this would be their story.
So my dad, divorced my mum when I was little, and dad went on and got remarried, and he had a new family, a new wife and new kids, and I felt replaced by that.
But I knew one day we had to move out of there, and that was the saddest day for me.
Hanging out with the wrong people, some of the older boys doing some bad stuff, and I sort of just followed that. After a while, things got worse and worse, and actually one of my mates got killed.
The great thing about what we do is that we provide homelessness services from anyone from 16 years of age until, well, even younger than that. And so we're providing literally homelessness services for children right up to seniors.
At first, I probably didn't come out of my room very much. Just that whole feeling of, I knew I was safe, but just that coming to terms with it myself, that I'd ended up in a place where I thought that it was like having a weakness where I'd ended up. But slowly, the workers at Platform 9 just treated me with dignity and respect.
It was a journey. I started off as a young bloke, single parent family. Dad was never really around, so got into some pretty bad stuff, drinking, drugs, gang life. Not having a dad sort of left me looking for things that I couldn't find anywhere else but in that sort of gang sort of vibe, I guess you'd say.
I've had the privilege of being able to manage Platform 9 now for 3 years, and I've been able to really see some huge changes in the lives of many people. And along that time, not only have we been able to support people through the domestic and family violence, we've been able to support people through homelessness. We've seen 345 people come through our doors with a 96% success rate of finding them longer term housing solutions.
Meeting a lot of beautiful people, and it didn't matter who they were, you know, whether it was just a single person, whether it was a family of two or a family of eight. You know, it's been able to share the story and to encourage each other and to give hope. And that's what, for me, the journey in Platform 9 has brought to me.
The love. There was love in that place.
There's a number of different ways that people become homeless, from addiction and just in that sort of situation, or to just mental health in their families, abuse in their families, neglect in their families, just a whole bunch of stuff, and reasons where kids who are 16 in that age group end up either having to raise their family or look after their family or just flee from their family because it's unsafe to be there.
I went back to Jacaranda recently, and I've been going to counselling regularly as of recent, and I discovered that through this process that they wanted me to go and find home. And I really, I thought through all my childhood memories about where was home, and I realised that it was at Jacaranda. Jacaranda empowered me to be able to make my own decisions and my own choices. I became my own person again.
When I first came in, I didn't realise the importance. I didn't realise the work that they did. It's not about just providing a shelter. It was about providing a community and a little family. And it really is a place that you belong. And it gives you those foundations and stepping stones to be able to get to that next place. And yeah, I really couldn't thank them enough.
We put our hands up for homelessness. What about you?
I'm putting my hand up for homelessness. What about you?
I'm putting my hand up for homelessness. What about you?
And let's just pray together. Lord, we just thank you that you're here in this place right now. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Xavier. We thank you, God, that you're at work. You're at work not only in his heart, but you're at work in our hearts right now. I thank you, God, that you're working in the hearts of those people that we've seen on that screen. Thank you that you are the way. Thank you that you are the truth and that you are the life. And I pray today, God, that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts in such a way today that sets alight a fire in our spirit, that makes us realize that what we have in our hands and what we have in our life, what we have in our hearts when it comes to knowing you. And I pray, God, that whatever happens in this room tonight would go beyond us. It would touch our kids, that it would touch our families, it would touch our neighbours, our work colleagues, whoever we come in contact with. Lord, we pray that the love of Jesus, that we would see and feel and experience the love of Jesus changing people's life every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Haven't got much time, but that's all right. Are you happy to stay for a few hours? I don't know if the kids' leaders would be that excited. Or the kids, yeah. Yeah, that's all right. We could do that. I've been preaching through a series on revival at Sea Change in the last 6 or 7 weeks. God really put this idea of revival in my heart. Because I'd seen the impact of the gospel coming in line with people's lives, and I'd seen change happen in people's lives significantly. And I was doing some reading, and it was helping me define what revival was and the difference between renewal and revival. And renewal is when one person gets touched by the presence of God and get significantly changed. Renewal's great, and I've seen people go through renewal, and I love hearing testimonies of renewal. I love seeing individuals have their life impacted by God and having their life changed. But what's even more significant is revival. Revival is when not one person gets impacted, but every single person gets impacted. And that's what I want to see. I don't want to see pockets of people come alive. I want to see us all come alive. I don't want to see just individuals come alive. I want to see my whole family come alive. I want to see my whole street come alive. I want to see my whole church come alive. I want to see the young people in our church and the kids in our church come alive. I want to see the teenagers in our church come alive, because that is when revival happens, and that is when we're not just impacting just little individuals, but we're actually impacting a whole community. And that's been my prayer. That's my prayer for you, is that you would experience revival in your own heart, but you would see revival in the people around you. And I'm passionate about the gospel. I'm passionate about God, and because I believe that He is the only way. And I challenge you, you know, and I challenge people who I come in contact with me. I say, look, I've got this idea that Jesus is the only way. Now, please argue with me. Please convert me to something else, because I've given my life to this thing. And if I'm wrong, I want to know. I want to know that I'm off track. I want to know that there's something else, but there isn't nothing else. I don't see anyone else changing people's lives in the way that Jesus is. And I'm passionate about us continuing to believe that when we come into a situation that or a circumstance, that we stop trying to fix it with our own knowledge and our own ideas and our own strategies, and we start to invite Jesus into our situation and into our circumstances, believing by faith He is the only way that things are going to change. I wish there was another answer. But we can get exhausted in our own life trying to find other ways to get jobs done and to try and heal our land other than outside of what Jesus can do. And my fear is that we don't like passion. When people get passionate, I don't know, is it about Aussie culture or something? I don't know if the Indian culture's like this, but when people get passionate, Australians get very suspicious of passionate people. We don't embrace passion. We start to think there's something wrong with that person. If someone gets passionate about something, we want to medicate them. You know, that is our answer. We want to bring them down to a level where we can control them. Because I think that's what it is, isn't it? It's control when things happen outside of our kind of realm of understanding or world of influence. We kind of get a little bit nervous because things are happening and I don't really know what to do. And so, like, let's medicate that, because we can bring people down to a normal, mediocre, flatline level. That's our plan in society. Get everyone flatlining. Like, it's ridiculous to talk about it, isn't it? Because I love passion. You know, I want to see the church fired up. I want to see us get passionate about who God is. Firstly, who He is, that the cross of Jesus becomes the thing that you're passionate about as sort of like first base. That you experience God working in your own life and in your own world to the point where you can't, as Paul wrote, Christ's love compels me. I've experienced the love of Christ in such a deep, significant way. Paul says, I've encountered the love of Jesus in such a significant way. I can't help but talk about what Jesus is doing and what He will continue to do. We sing about it. Do it again, Lord. But we've got to start living it. And I love Pastor Xavier's passion, because I know and I've heard his testimony. And if you've been through what he's been through, and if you counted Jesus, I mean, you try and stop this guy talking about Jesus now. I dare you. Have a go. Because you won't be able to, because there's a fire in him that's going on. There's something in his heart that is so strong that you could not convince him that it's not real. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of revelation that I want to have. That's the kind of understanding that I want to have. I want to be zealous. I want passion, and that's the basis of revival. Passion. So why are you afraid to be passionate? Are you afraid that someone's going to put a lid on your passion? Is someone going to be skeptical about your passion? Is someone going to dismiss your passion? Because you know what? We're going to get to a place where we don't really care what man says. We only care what God says. And if you stand up and you're passionate about Jesus. We had our launch for P9 last week. And I sat down with our team and we were talking about the event. And we had, you know, we had the Attorney General there. We had the local member, we had the police there, all the who's who in the know around the Shire, all the people that support us and gave money to us, housing were there, all these kinds of people, because they wanted to, you know, mostly want to feed their own ego and let them know that they're doing something special. It wasn't about us. But they were in the room, and I said to our team, I said, wouldn't it be embarrassing if we sat in that room and we're all excited about the 345 people that God's ministered to in the last 3 years and the transformation in those people's lives, his house. But of those 345, you know, we've probably had 45 to 50 of them give their life to Christ. And God has had a significant difference. And if we sit around the room and go, why did these people get housed? It was because Jesus housed them. And I would be, and I said to our staff, I would be embarrassed to stand up there and not mention Jesus. I would walk out of that room sad, because I'd think, man, we've promoted everything in the natural when we know that in the spiritual God has done so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. And we got up there and we said, we've had divine intervention. We had a cheat sheet. We had more power. We had more authority. We had more opportunity than anyone else, because we know that God's on our team. And I walked away from that moment and I thought, you know what? And I love this passage in Luke 12:8, and it's put up on the screen. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. And mate, that's where I want to get acknowledged. I don't care. You can put me in the paper. You know, you can do whatever you want. I want my name mentioned among the angels in the heavenly realms, the eternal realm. Because I can get my name mentioned in the temporary realm, and it will come and go. But I want to get my name mentioned in the eternal realm. It's what legacy is about. Matthew 5:14, I want to read this to you. It says, you are the light of the world. That's an identity statement. Because sometimes we're questioning whether we're light or we're not light. Right? I don't know about you, but that's me. I want to put this temperature gauge up there. Can you put that up there? I was hanging out at the Menai Marketplace recently, because this is my local hang joint. Because I moved to Menai and that's my local place. On the tables in the food court, they have these video screens. And I was preparing my message there and I was saying, God, what do you want to say? And I was hoping it was going to get like this PowerPoint slide of great information slide across this thing. And all I got was the weather, and which was really nice. But God spoke to me through this, because this is what he does, right? You know, if you're open and you ask God to speak to you, he'll use the most unusual things to speak into your life. It's almost like I was on a direction. I saw this and everything else that was going across the screen was just normal. But this thing stood out to me. And you know why it stood out to me, don't you? Because you're looking at this going, Brooke, I know where you're at, aren't you? You're getting the revelation right now, aren't you? Tell me what it is. Do you want me to tell you what it is? You getting it? You're not getting it. It feels like. You are the light of the world. That's a true statement. That's identity. You are a son and a daughter of the King. You have an inheritance that's beyond your imagination. You have God doing a work in your life that you have no idea your capacity to serve him. You have no idea the passion that can be driven in your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to come, which is rightfully yours through giving your life to Jesus. You have no idea of the power that God can be at work in your life. You have no idea of the influence you can have in the kingdom of God and on the planet. You have no idea, but we walk around going like, I know that, but I feel like. I know I'm 11.9. But I feel like I'm 4.9. Are you getting what I'm getting? And God wants to bring us up not to how we feel, and not he wants to talk to you about not where you're at. He wants to talk to you about where he's at. Because we've got to come up to his level and stop asking God to come down to my level. Right? And we've got to allow ourselves to believe and to declare and to trust. We've got to allow ourselves to get caught up in the miracle of what it means to be a believer of Jesus Christ. We've got to allow ourselves to get caught up in the possibilities that are there for each one of us. We've got to allow ourselves, give yourself permission, even beyond how you feel. Because I don't know about you, but my feelings never 100% match my true identity in Christ. And I'm honest, you know, I don't feel like reading the Bible sometimes. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like even caring sometimes. I don't feel like pastoring every day. I don't feel like being a person who wants to make a difference every day. I'm exhausted. I'm struggling. So I have a choice to make. Do I tap into my reality, my current reality, or do I believe? Do I believe? And that's the miracle of the gospel, isn't it? That's the difference between you and someone who doesn't know Christ. They don't have this to tap into. They don't have the miracle to work in you. They don't have it. And so while our circumstances and my struggle, I think, God, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But you know, I'm sitting in Menai Marketplace feeling exhausted, uninspired, thinking, how am I going to come up with a word? And all of a sudden, this thing comes out and hits me in the face. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I've got divine intervention. Because you don't want me. Trust me, you don't want me. You want God. And you want His work in your life. But that's the miracle of it. And so we've got to lift the lid on this. It says, go back to that verse in 5:14 in Matthew. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket. They put it on a stand, gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are called by God to be shiners of light, to lift the bowl, lift the lid, to give yourself permission to shine. I think there was a song about that one day. I'm not going to sing it to you. Give yourself permission to shine. Oh, thank you. It's in that space. I was thinking about, okay, God, you want us to shine. So what makes you vomit? What makes you nauseous, God? Like here's where my head goes. What nauseates Jesus? And we read in Revelation chapter 3, you're going to put up on the screen, I know your deeds, you are neither hot nor cold. The word hot there, the Greek word there is zestos, which means zeal, which means passion, which means fervor. I wish you were hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm, you make me nauseous. Sorry. If you thought Jesus was loving. He is loving. But I love this passage because I'm challenged about it. Let's read. For you say I am rich, and this is pride, right? I've got it all. I've got what I need. I don't need you, God. I have prospered and I need nothing, not really that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. I counsel you not to rely on your own riches. I counsel you not to rely on your own resources. I counsel you to tap into God's resources because it's amazing. So that you may be rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness may not be seen and salve to anoint your eyes. This sense of purity, the sense of God changing us, getting rid of our shame and guilt so that they may see you. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Now you love that word? Repent means to change your mind. Repent, same word, go up to the penthouse, get a different perspective on your life, and change the way. And so when you get out of the penthouse, go down and start living differently. change the way we think. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, anyone, is there anyone here who wants to hear what I'm trying to say? Open the door, and I will come in and eat with him and he with me. There's so much power here. He wants us to be zealous, either hot nor cold. Zeal. We see story, and I'm going to finish with this story. You know, we see this picture of Jesus going into the temple and overturning the tables, and everything's going on there. And he is frustrated and he is nauseous because he's turned his house into a marketplace. The intent of what God's purpose was for his house has been changed, and it's made him nauseous. And he says, for the zeal for the house consumes me. The zeal for the house consumes me. I want the zeal for God's house, for God's purposes, for God's plans to consume you. I want to see, you know, I love that word consume can be changed to the word devour. I like that word. Zeal for your house will devour me. Passion will devour me. It will swallow me up. Lord, swallow me up. Please swallow me up. Devour me. Zeal, it's like an intense devotion. You know, that white hotness. And God wants to bring out a holy rage in you. Passion. And I'm excited. I'm excited because all it takes is for us to repent and to change our mind about how things are traveling and how things are going, and to believe, and for allow. It's almost a holy, Bill Hybels, I think, talks about a holy discontent. You know, there's a holy discontent in you that says, you know what, I'm not going to stand for this anymore, but I'm going to stand for the cross because I know the cross. And I know the difference it can make in people's lives. So we're going to unleash some passion tonight. We're going to lift the lid on some stuff tonight. And there's some people here that are afraid of passion. Because in the past, you've fired up about things, and people have put you down, and people have tried to put a lid on you, and people have been suspicious of you. And I know, you know, the great thing about tonight, Brett and Jen aren't here, Dave and Elise aren't here, I can say what I want. I was thinking that just sitting there, I could really go to town tonight and just walk out and just like, I'll go, what did you say? What did you do? And I'm like, I don't know, I can't remember. I don't think are you taping this? No. Oh. But I believe in the church. I don't know. I don't care where we've been. I don't care where we've come from, because that's the way Jesus sees me. He doesn't think about my past. He doesn't bring it up. He doesn't talk about it. He only talks about what's going on now, what he wants to do in my life, and what he sees for me in the future. And I want everyone in this room to say, you know what? Forget about yesterday. Let's start today. Let's allow the passion and the zeal for the house to consume us to the point where it drives us to believe that the cross makes sense, and it's going to continue to change lives in the future. Let's do that. Let's allow ourselves to be devoured by the presence of Jesus. Let's allow ourselves to believe. Am I the only one here that cares? Let's all stand. I don't know everyone here, and I don't know whether you've actually said yes to Jesus yet. But what I do know is that potentially up until this point, you have realized that you have tried a lot of things outside of this Jesus story and it hasn't really worked. I implore you and I encourage you today that you know what? Jesus does make a difference in your life. He says that all you have to do is to repent and believe. Repent means simply to change your mind about who he is and what he's been. You have been unbelieving. You have ignored him your whole life. All you have to do is simply say, God, I was wrong. I've done that before. I'm wrong every other day. I repent every day. It's okay. And we say, I was wrong, Lord. I don't know what I need to do. But today I'm saying yes to you. And I want to invite you into my life. And I want to see you change me. But I also want to see you change the people around me, my family. And all you have to do is simply repent and believe. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is number one or Lord or King of your heart above everything else, then he will come and he will save you. He will rescue you. That's the power of the cross. He is the only person on the planet that has defeated death, has rose to the again. And that means for you is that it doesn't matter how dead you feel, you can rise up again and you can live a new life in Christ. We do that every day, and that's the good news of the kingdom. That's the gospel, right? And we believe it and we trust it. So if you want to get that today, I just encourage you to say yes to Jesus and talk to someone about it. But for the rest of us, you know, let's not make Jesus nauseous. Come on. Let's kind of allow ourselves to get consumed and devoured by the passion of the cross and allow him to work in our life so that we can start a revival. Because that's what we want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see a revival in India. I want to see a revival in Australia. I want to see a revival in Caringbah. And I want to see a revival in Genali and everything in between. They can have revival if they want. Miranda can if they want to. And Sutherland can. But we definitely want to start in Caringbah and Genali as a starting point. And Cronulla. Blue Dragon Cruise. God. So what I want you to do is when you lift your hands out like this is just surrender to God. It's just an openness. It's just a posture to say, Lord, come into my heart. Change me, Lord. Consume me. Devour me. And I do, for some of us, I know you're Christian, so I want you to put one hand out, but I want you to put the other hand on the person next to you on their shoulder. Because part of it's received and part of it's imparted. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us, that you rose again, and we too, as we choose to die once again today, to rise up again in you. Holy Spirit, I ask that your fire would just fall on our hearts right now, that zeal for the house would consume us. Lord, we repent. Lord, we say sorry for the times we have doubted. We say sorry for the times we've been unbelieving. Lord, we say sorry for the times where we've rejected you, where we haven't believed. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for your forgiveness and grace and mercy and the kindness of God would just lead us to change our mind and to walk in a different direction. Lord, we thank you for your grace, which is unfailing, it's unlimiting, and we just want to receive your grace today, your empowering presence. And we just pray, God, Lord, as we walk out of here, this is a new day for this congregation. This is a new day for our families, for our children. And we just thank you, Lord, that the fire of God is moving in this place. And we declare that you are victorious over all our circumstances. And we just love you, Lord. And we lift our voice and we praise you. For you are good and you are kind and you are deliverer and you are savior. And we just love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show his love, grace and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact he has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.